Today marks the 501st anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. It is a day when Christianity saw a new heaven and a new earth emerge in the form of Martin Luther's 95 Theses condemning the practices and the beliefs of the Roman Catholic Church. He thought that they were antithetical to Scripture, and so he took umbrage with those things. Luther was a primary force in the Reformation movement. He and Calvin wrote and spoke with a passion that moved their followers to denounce the necessity of a pope and cash and carry salvation in the form of something called indulgences, where you paid for forgiveness. We are blessed to have the two of those great scholars memorialized in stained glass up here. And as you're heading out this morning, you want to take a peek over here, both Calvin and Luther. Luther's holding up his theses, and Calvin is holding up his Bible. It is a fine tribute to the beliefs of the Protestant movement. And it's... What? Excuse me?
Rubbish! Those windows are profaning of what we stood for, and they are missing a much more important player in the movement.
I'm sorry, but I don't know what you're talking about or who you are. Could you...
I am Ulrich Zwingli.
Who?
Ulrich Zwingli. I am the head of the Reformed tradition within the Protestant Church. That idiot Luther got a few things right. But on the most important matters, he was a heretic.
Whoa. That is some pretty charged language there, Buckaroo. You know, we've just been through a tough week here when volatile language of our leaders has led to some very violent actions among us. Here, let me give you a microphone so people can hear all the gems that you have to share with us.
And if you knew what I knew, you'd speak with such passion, too.
Well, tell me what we're missing. I mean, we have these lovely windows up here right around the corner. You see?
An abomination. Haven't you read my teachings?
Actually, no. I have not read the teachings of Ulrich Zwingli. No.
Obviously. Have some Swiss Miss cocoa while I try to educate you.
Thank you. I will. Swiss Miss? Why Swiss Miss?
I'm from Switzerland, you fool.
Oh!
Unlike that faker Calvin.
Wait a second. I thought he was...
He lived in Switzerland, but he was from France. I suppose that just because you're living in Briarcliff Manor, you consider yourself a New Yorker?
Well, no,
Quiet. The reason these windows are an abomination is because they go against the biblical teaching of making icons or figures that draw people's attention away from God. I taught that the Bible is the law of God, and to that point, a truly Christian community must follow the Bible as closely as possible. These windows you surround yourself are not even close. They are distraction. They should be removed and destroyed, as should all things which distract God's people from holy reflection.
Whoa, destroy? Now, wait a minute. You don't really mean that, do you?
Don't I?
I hope not.
Have you ever been to the cloisters?
Yes.
Have you seen the defaced sculptures that once drew people's gaze away from Jesus? Christ with their beauty?
Well, yeah, I presume those were acts of wartime violence.
Wartime violence.
Oh.
I encourage my followers to destroy those so-called pieces of art for the spiritual health of God's people.
That is awful.
It allowed for people to be more in awe of our Creator. Those practices of the Roman Catholic Church took people's minds away from what Christ taught. The Bible does not condone the creation of religious imagery. And so I took corrective action to fix that egregious mistake. And you're welcome.
I don't remember saying thank you, but you destroyed beautiful works of art that celebrated the glory of God.
Yeah, and I suppose you think that the pomp and circumstance of the Mass is also beautiful.
Well, no, I mean, that's really not my thing, the whole Mass thing. I prefer a simpler form of receiving communion, but I...
Well, you can thank me for that as well.
Oh.
I put forth the idea that local magistrates, or churches as you might call them now, had the authority to practice the teachings of Scripture as they saw fit. I thought it was important for lay people to be involved, read the texts, understand what they were reading, or at least wrestle with that meaning. Well, I approve of your dedicating a new Bible for your community today.
I'm glad.
And I see from this silly paper here that you are also holding a Bible study here, this local magistrate.
I've lost my place. Oh, we did. We did. And we do. But wait a second. Why do you call this bulletin silly? I don't understand that.
Because it is not prescribed by Scripture. Have you ever read Jesus talking about which order or how many lectionary readings to include in written form for worship to take place?
Have any of you read that? I don't think I've read it. No, but it does help us.
But
if we...
it's not prescribed by Jesus. Therefore, it is not necessary. It's a distraction.
Wait a minute. I don't teach the Bible as a prescription. I teach it as a description of how we can order our lives, not how we must order our lives. It's kind of like a guideline by which we can grow in our understanding of God's hopes and desires for us.
You're a heretic.
Well,
I cannot believe that they let you lead in the name of Jesus.
Join the club. There's a lot of people wondering
you
that.
You sound like that heretic from my day, Martin Luther.
Thank you.
He believed that Jesus was present every time the Last Supper was received. He described his mystical understanding of an omnipresence of our Savior in the elements, although he was never really very clear about how that happened. Whereas I taught that the meal was a commemoration of Jesus' sacrifice and time with his disciples. The bread and wine are purely symbolic elements that we use to remember the gift as Jesus prescribed it.
Well, I wrestle with that understanding too. For instance, when Jesus says, "This is my body."
You mean this signifies my body?
Well, no. I mean, maybe.
No,
yeah,
no maybe. Hocus corpus meum. That is the essence of my issue with Luther. He says maybe too much. The Bible clearly prescribes the meaning.
Actually, Mr. Zwingli, in our Bible study class, we've learned that because of various translations, it's not always that clear to know what's been prescribed or described. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us to understanding. There's a lot to think about and discuss. We may even come to different conclusions based on our experience of Jesus, but that doesn't make it unacceptable to God.
Heresy.
Hold on. Isn't it possible for us to agree to disagree on this matter?
Well, absolutely not.
Whoa!
Our practices may be different, but our thinking must be in sync with the Bible. As I treated Luther, I will take my leave of you without handshake and without respect.
Well, can I keep the cocoa anyways?
Go ahead. You profaned it with your lips anyway.
But how are we going to unite if we can't celebrate common ground together?
Huh. Have you had much luck with that? Philip of Hesse tried to get Luther and me to work out this disagreement. The Marburg Colloquy of 1529. Look it up. Didn't end well, despite a few commonalities.
Oh, wait a second. I did look that up. That I believe there were 15 common articles that you agreed upon, and only one issue held you up from uniting.
But we must strive for perfection, like a well-crafted Swiss chocolate, or like this piece of Swiss cheese, which, unlike this conversation, is undeniably holy.
It is holy.
There is no room for compromise.
I don't think I can agree with you on that one, Mr. Zwingli.
I didn't think you could, heretic. I will take my leave of you and your doomed followers.
Oh, man. Well, hey, have a nice day. Thanks for the cocoa. Here at the Briarcliff Congregational Church, the Protestant Reformation lacks a window to Ulrich Zwingli. Even though he brought us the ideas of local congregational authority and the concept of religious morality being integrated into public life, his ideas move people to take action on their faith instead of being bystanders, onlookers who just kind of sat there passively and absorbed the ideas of the priests and leaders who told them what to do. It was a new thing, a new way of thinking. A revelation that led God's people to think in new ways about our relationship with the holy and with one another. Unfortunately, his unyielding belief in a prescribed understanding of the Bible kept his message from being passed on in the ways that Luther's message made the rounds. And perhaps there's a lesson there for us today. May we build the bridges and see more clearly than our spiritual forebearers did. May we recognize the truth that God is making all things new, still, through Jesus Christ. Amen. And happy Reformation Sunday.